convert. And the first piece over here is a Ramban in his Hakdamot Bamidbar. So he says, Achashev Biatoras HaKavonis Seif HaShlishi, he's spoken about Kavonis, he's now going to tell us the mitzvahs that relate to the Mishkan, to the Ol Moed. I want to pause a second and explain a point here. Ilchurit seems to be a little bit reversed. We know we learned by the Mishkan, for instance, that first you build the Mishkan and put the Kelim in, and here he's explaining first Kabbanis and then the Mishkan. So even though we do have the building of the Mishkan before the Kabbanis and Shmos, but he's saying we're now explaining the Mitzvahs Nogetra Ol Moed, which seems to be the opposite of the order. So I think the pshat would be the if you take from the Rambam, the way he describes the mitzvah of building Beis HaMikdash is it's Korbanis can exist independently of a Mishkan. The obvious board Korbanis, Adam Arishon, Noach, a bringer of Korban is an avoda that requires a Mizbeach, a person to bring it, that's it. The fact that you can make a place which is permanently the place that is appropriate to bring Korbanis to, and so on, is a second step. So Korbanis exists in its own right, and you could even be makir a Korban without the whole Beis HaMikdash. You could just have a Kloyim and you have a Mizbeach, and that's enough basically. But there's an added facet of Avoda that we can have a place that is the permanent home of the Mizbeach. So now so Rabban says, what are those elements of the Mishkan that is now the Ol Moed is explaining? So he says, for Hizir al Tumas Migdash Kodesh Doros, he's already told us the Isser of Tuma. After Yagbos a Mishkan be Yosei be Midbar, Kasha Higbil Har Sinai be Sakovit Shem, Mitziva Vazor Akor of Yuma, Kasha Omer Shem Yisok Yisoko. So he says the Pasuk will now define the Ol Moed in parallel terms to Har Sinai. He tells us to make boundaries around the Mishkan. People are not allowed to come in if they're Tomei, different Madregas. So too, Har Sinai had Gvulas around it. He also said that if a non-Kohen brings Korbanis, he dies. It says Kisokel Yisokel. The Tzivolo Leobolirus Kibalas HaKodesh V'meisu, Kasha Hizah Shem Peyes HaShem Liros. And Vitzivo Shmatem, and here also Shmatem, and so on. So the Ramban, and Ramban sums up that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he will, he described Ol Moed with the Shmira, that Volos, and the Gvulos, like he did Har Sinai. Vakol Malo Lemitus Kavodlo, it's a Malo and a Kavod, Koshom Chazal in Dem Palton Shemalak, and so on. I'd like to contemplate this a minute. If I were to say I would like to build a building, I have a lot of money, I'd like to build a building like the White House. Could you describe to me what the White House is like, or the U.S. Capitol, and I will try to imitate it? If I says sure, there's a security detail on the outside. There's a person that challenges you, 100 feet further down the road. There's a restricted parking lot here, and there's an alarm system there, etc., etc. One would feel that he's getting the periphery rather than anything to do with the building itself. I mean, the Shmira and the Gvulas are all wonderful. But if we were to say the Ol Moed is like Har Sinai, and this is something that Ramban says in Vayikra, he speaks about it, and in the Zakdama there, and he makes the point clear that the Ol Moed is a sort of permanent encapsulation of Har Sinai. The Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Luchos in the middle, with the Aron and the Luchos, that's like the Har Sinai, everything's around it. So he does describe the Mishkan as being there, like Har Sinai. Why does he pick, the points that he picks are the Shmira and the Vos, which is really what the Pasuk does talk about. The Pasuk talks about the Shiluach, Machnes, etc. So I think the answer is as follows, and it's very important in understanding, it's a deeper point about understanding the concepts of Kedusha and Gilui Hashem and so on. We start with the assumption that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meloch Al Eretz Kavodo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no boundaries. He permeates. He is everything, everywhere, all the time, etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed for a Bria to come into place, and the allowing for the Bria to come to place means that there must be a certain level of hesed upon him. There must be a certain framework wherein man doesn't necessarily deher HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where man can be osek in chulin, where man can even not believe there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. So this world is actually a sort of special area, so to speak, that is devoid of the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The marker of the way in which we see the transition from this world that we live in that's whole and that is permitted for us to that we can sense whole, we can do chulin, we can do averis in Chas v'Shalom, that is sharply defined at with gvulos. Just like it says, chols santa gvula yam val yavorun, that the sand, the ocean sort of threatens to overflow the land, and sand puts a boundary on it. So too, the world has boundaries that mark where Kedusha has stopped, so to speak, and we've started. So if when we make Kodesh, it's not the pshat that we're making. When you build the old mohed, you don't need to create the Kedusha. You need to limit the chol on the other side. And once that's limited, the Kedusha is there automatically. The Beis HaMikdash is an anomaly, and its Kedusha is an anomaly to us, because our sense of the world is this tiny bubble of chulin, but it's the reality of everything else. So the gvulos are actually that which demarcate our world, and that Kedusha starts. So it's not just the gvulos are a shmira, it's an issa to go there and so on and so forth. It actually, in a certain sense, defines where the Makom Kodesh will be by putting a limit to the whole around it. That's point one in Ramban. Second point, the Ramban says, "Asefa ze kula b'mitzvah shosh in sabim b'amlu midbar." The Sefer deals with temporary mitzvahs. A lot of the things that happen, a lot of things in the Midbar are events that, you know, Pesach Sheni is a sort of temporary event, and the Chatzotzos was kind of temporary, and so on. U'benisim anatzim lehem, v'sapa kol matz Hashem sezim lehafi. Yes?
Kula b'mitzvah shah. Sota was a mitzvah shah? That was...
Well, the problem is, he does say a little bit fighter. He says, in this Sefer there are no mitzvahs that are no gedoros, except for some of the Karbanis mitzvahs that he started by Yikra, and this is the Hashlama. So Nazir could fit into that. The bigger kasha is a tzitzis.
Yeah.
I mean, tzitzis is a mitzvah that is gedoros, big time, and it's here. I'm not sure what Ramban means. But I like to point out something else. It seems almost strange to us. The Torah is something which is nitzchias. It's something which is meant to last forever, and that's its hallmark as the eternal truths, and so on. But that the Torah mentions events as they happen, well, obviously those events are a trail of events, a chain of events that led to us leaving Mitzrayim, us going to the Midbar, us coming to, and so on and so on. But the world of mitzvahs, to define a subset of mitzvahs that are temporary, that is very strange. It almost goes against the grain of what the mitzvah is. So yes, there was a mitzvah to make a nechash and a choshes, there was a mitzvah this, there was a that. But why call it mitzvahs? There's something very, very strange about it. I would like to offer a bit of an explanation. The whole Sefer is called Bamidbar, which also was a transitional phase. There's a famous, there's endless authors that the 42 Masos in Maseh are, everyone is destined to pass through those Masos. In other words, in a big picture, Olam Hazeh is a place that's temporary. It's by its nature a journey, and yet mitzvahs are mislabish even in that world. It's not the pshat temporary mitzvahs, but rather mitzvahs that are nogea to temporary conditions. I guess if I can just use sort of a mashal, like tefillas haderech. Tefillas haderech is the tefillah to say when you're on the road. That there is hanhog of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the trip also. They happen to be some sort of thing, so we happen to have a mitzvah, and that's it. We never heard of it again, and it's not important. We wouldn't have to learn it. Those things, there are many, many, many things that happened over 40 years that we don't know anything about because they're not known as the Doris, they're not known as the Doris. The mitzvahs that were given then is nogea because they apply. There are mitzvahs sure that on its tavu ben the midbar, they're nogea for sure. You can learn something similar to it. Whatever it is, there's a Torah that applies even to that. It is of the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that not only are mitzvahs eternal, but mitzvahs also fit temporary conditions. I want to give maybe like a marshal sort of, now we can get understand it. A person studies psychology, for instance, and he studies fundamental points that are really the big picture. So-and-so acts in a certain way because because these are the problems that he has, and this is what it ought to be. So this is what a person ought to be. For some reason he's not there because of problem X, Y, and Z, and that's causing a condition A, B, and C, and really he ought to be at the J, K, and L. That is a big picture psychology. But there's a chachma, and that's quote unquote the absolute truth of the chachma, that so-and-so is normal. A person who is in this place is because of this problem, take away the problem, and he's there. When you're working with the person, that the person may not be able to do it that way. So you need to say, first I'll get him to point A, then to point B, then to point C, and at each stage, it seems to the patient as if this is the psychologist's entire world. Yes, your thing is to forget about this, don't worry about it. These are things that are not important, this is the important thing, and everything else forget about. It's not important. You can keep doing it. So when he's gotten to a certain point, just say, now that we're here, the most important challenge is the other point, and so on. There's the mahalach itself, the so-called temporary mahalach is temporary in its application, but it's an eternal chachma mitzad atzma. So a mitzvah that applies for a certain tkufa, chanoch hanal pidarko, is a Torah in itself. And that's why these are mitzvahs that are temporary in the sense they apply to a person at a temporary stage, but they're eternal in their emes. Maybe that's what's in the Ramban's words. Okay, the next one is Ramban that speaks about the minyan. We have over here Moshe Rabbeinu counted Kal Yisrael, and the question is what do we learn from the fact that he counted Kal Yisrael? What do you need to, and so on and so forth. So the Ramban has a few to read. We'll skip down the first two lines. We just bring the pasuk. Well, I have noisy tama mitzvah says. I don't understand the reason for it. Lama tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need it? We know that he needed the golem, but why did he need the number? So the first one he says is he wanted to reiterate the tremendous benevolence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You came as a small family of 70 people 2 centuries ago, and today you are kechol hayam. That's the first pshat. The second one, is sort of a almost a chassidish pshat, and it's a marker for a certain chassidish and haga. And you know, we take the emes even if it's not, even if it's kind of bitter. But he says, ki abo lifnei ava neviim va'ochet beis Hashem, a person who passes by the ava neviim and the kedosh Hashem, Moshe and Aaron are the pillars of nevuah and kedusha. V'noyed aleim b'shmoy, and they're acknowledging their name. My name is Chaim ben Baruch. Yeloi b'dobar z'schus v'chaim. That becomes a schus and a lifeline for him. Ki bo b'soyda om u'b'ksav ne'isol, because he's been included in the nation of Yisrael. U'schus harabim b'misparam, and the schus harabim in those numbers. V'chein le'kulam, and every one of them, schus b'mispar sh'yem l'chvay sh'varen. It is a schus that they pass by Moshe Aaron, ki yasim aleim einem l'toiva. They impose an ayin tov on them. Yivakshu lehem rachmim, and they mispawl for them. Hashem ol kev asechem, yesel lechem el apomim, lo yamit misparchem, vashkol gulosh asechem. So, the Ramban says a sort of mystical reason that when a person touches base on a personal level with Kedosh Hashem, with somebody of that darga, he becomes a chelik of Klal Yisrael. He gets a chef of Tov and so on. Yes, Pinchas.
Couldn't the Ramban be saying that it's him being counted as part of the number of Klal Yisrael, and that it's the bracha of Klal Yisrael, and that since this person is part of that number, he's nichlal in.
But his first sentence is ki habolif ne'avni achashem v'noida aleim b'shmoy, and they now know him not as a number but as a person. He doesn't just count for a helicopter view. It's a crowd of 100,000, but this is and this is the mokor for kvitlach to Rebbe. You know, you write down your name and you present yourself as a person to the Rebbe. The point of the open point is are they neviim and kedosh Hashem? That every chassid has decided his own. But the etzem musig of in ger, for instance, when people came for Yontif, after Yontif they would say goodbye to Rebbe, say hello to Rebbe. The Rebbe would stand in his tiny booth, everybody would file by him. Mm-hmm. It was something similar to this. I mean, you ask yourself, what's the point of it? There is that point of that moment of touch of Kesha that creates that. The third point is the Midrash Sinai Rabba Reisi Kach Ben Mispar Shem Zgosam. So he brings a chazal here that if you were to count people like you count pickles or something, you take a look from the top and you see how many pickles are there, that's the grading. If every single person files by, he said, you don't ask the Rosh Hashanah, tell me how many kids you got. 10 kids, great. But rather, every single one is standing be'emo be'kavot, and is moina about to moina yisam. You count each one as individual. Every person has his own metzias and not just as part of a large lump. That is a kavod and a yichud for each one. The last one or two. I mean, he has the last one is that divide up Eretz Yisrael, but he says another yisod. V'itocha shenayma oid, ki hoyezeh kederach shamalchus oise bevoyim l'molchama. It was a way of establishing an army. You count how many soldiers have. Kalti v'zumoni kos ha'aretz. They're now going to go to Eretz Yisrael. They're going to have molchamas, machim, mori, and so on. And Moshe and Nesim needed to know how many soldiers. V'kateiro loy tismoich ala nesir of echadalaf. The Torah does not rely on the ness that one will chase a thousand, and rather wants us to go through the process of having a tabidik mahalach of an army and so on and so forth. And that's why it says kol yotzav Yisrael, because the counting was called mukham. Yes,
Rebbe, is that sort of just talking about preparation from our side, whereas when it comes to lemaisa, Hashem will do nisim, because lemaisa when Klal Yisrael came into as you saw it was, but there are meeting with
right.
the Yarden, and then the Shvivos, the Hakapos
right.
of Yericho, that right. They didn't really have to fight.
that's, well, first of all, they did fight. It's a mixed bag. There was some nisim and there was some fighting. But it's also, a nes by definition is always from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says that if somebody goes in al-das, that there'll be a nes, there's no nes. If somebody goes in shalom al-das, a nes, then there is a nes. The appropriate way for us to deal with things that happen are shalom derech ha-nes. It's something which is always a very tough issue, especially on a klal level. In other words, how much are we supposed to, let's take a look in Eretz Yisrael. If the Frum people were running it, which seems to be a frightening possibility that soon the Moshe Kanzi Chayri, how are we supposed to deal with the world around us? And the Ramban says that you're not supposed to be Soymech al Nes, even the Midbar. You're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. And they needed to form an army that was an army like any other army. It's true, like you said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did great nisim for them. But the right mahalach is that. Many times people ask the question, well, how do you know when you're supposed to Soymech al Nes, and how do you know when you're supposed to Dalpei Derech HaTeva? Fine. I mean, that's not on a practical level. I guess that there are people that know, but I refer you to the Mesillas Yesharim. Mesillas Yesharim, in Zrizus, he speaks in the last one about Mafsida HaZrizus. He says one of them is over-worried, paranoid worries about safety and health and so on and so forth. So he says, well, so how do you know, does not HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to go to Derech HaTeva and so on and so forth? And he answers the most common sense answer possible, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave seichel to people, and a healthy seichel has a sense of things. This is dangerous, this is risky, this is normal, this is safe, this is a precaution that's most appropriate, this is a precaution that has its place, this is a precaution that smells of being neurotic, and this is paranoid. There are no formulas that can avoid using seichel. So if you ran a country, and this is talking about, Ramah's talking about Chaisel at its peak, in the midbar with the man, with everything, but it was going to stop. So when you run a country, you need to have an economic base, you need to have a military base, it needs to make sense on Derech HaTeva. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do nisim, of course I'll do nisim. But that's not our avodah, to run things through Derech HaTeva. I guess I would like to point out something which is, I don't vouch for the veracity of the story, because these things tend, but during the Gulf War, it was rumored that the scuds that would fall on Israel would have poison gas in them. Then they didn't have; they were just big pieces of metal that sort of damaged as big chunks of metal. It's ironic that everybody's quote unquote defenses was plastic on the windows, myself included. You pasted up plastic sheet to prevent the poison gas, but for a few tons of steel, plastic is a bit ineffective. But be that as it may, in Bnei Brak there was a sign that Reb Chaim Kanievsky himself is not going down to the shelter, and he's not putting on a gas mask. They told the Rebbe Yashiv, and again, I don't vouch for these stories. It was a very prevalent story, but I he said, I chose my son-in-law as a great Talmud Chacham, not as a Navi. In other words, there's a Mahalach of Teva. The Mahalach of Teva is to, you know, when there's a real danger, you take care to avoid the danger. If somebody were to come along and say he had Ruach HaKodesh and whatever it is, fine. But I'm saying in the general scheme of things, there's a Mahalach of Teva that's supposed to be used. That's supposed to be the Mahalach we deal with, and that's the right derech. Okay, and the next one is an Akedah. And this Akedah is a very, very fundamental Akedah about a lot of things in the Bria and numbers and so on. It says, what's the point of counting Klai Yisrael? So he brings the Ramban, or brings many Taimim. Omno, the second paragraph, Nakeda. Hayos and Nachum Beinai, to what I think is more right, Hulo dia kavonas ha-Torah lokis, b'mayla shle musam, kishirotu la-tikom b'hay-sharusa v'lumadea m'kala akum, b'yim etzi usam usam shayin. The Torah is trying to teach us the unique facets of Klal Yisrael things that divide Klal Yisrael's Metzias from Umasayel's Metzias. And they're reflected in two things. Ha'echas, the first one. Lohoiro she'en la Metzias ma'levad ve'echshiz damin. They don't have, their Metzias is not by chance, avol metzius meuyen toiv meshugach, but a very strong and powerful metzius. Ki zema sheyero lavak pares a cheshbon meduyek, because this is what a careful cheshbon points at. Ki kol mashem tziachos lekis boilam, anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world, brought into this world, hakol b'midol u'mishkol meshura. It all was with a measure. Let's talk about this point over here. It's making a very, very powerful point. We have different things. Let's give an example for two different systems that apply to two different types of entities. The first one is a recipe for chonk. A recipe for chonk is X, Y, and Z. Now, if you add a little bit of potatoes, it tends to make a drier chont. If you add beans, it tends to be a tougher chont. You can put more pepper or less pepper. You can try to get people excited by putting in, I don't know, paprika. You could do this, that, the other thing, and it works. All of it fits into the category of chont. If you try to manufacture salt out of chlorine and sodium, there aren't different recipes. The recipe is exact, always, everywhere, forever. The numbers in when you ask in business, you'll ask how much do you expect of this, and the answer will be about. When you ask when you measure something else, at what degrees will water freeze, it is exactly. Nature is built with the most exact of numbers. There are no approximately. They're approximate in reality because, you know, there's so many variants, but in perfect conditions, the numbers are perfect. And the reason is because these are brias from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these things, and salt is exactly X amount of sodium to X amount of chlorine, and it'll never change. Gravity has an exact formula to describe it. Never, ever change, and so on. So those things that are bedafka, those things that have very, very fixed numbers, are indicative of being realities, and those things that don't have fixed numbers are things that are kind of they're not for the kepeda. So the metzias, that is this the exact recipe for this and the other thing, you know, it's better. Sometimes it's better to have a little more this, a little more that. You're playing a piece of a music. Sometimes it's geschmack if you emphasize this part. Sometimes that part. There is not that rigidity of numbers. Because it doesn't have that same sense of reality as do things that are creations. Ukvapirsim anavi, and the Navi expressed this. Mimoda bishalo mayim, who measured in his cup, in his measure cup water, bishamayim bezeres tikeh, and the heavens he laid out with a measure. Vichol bisholish afa arets, vishakol bepelas harim, he weighed with a scale mountains, vigivores masnaim. I mean, we know now if the sun was much closer to the earth, a drop closer to the earth, then we would be toast. If the sun was a drop further than the earth, we would be ice. The numbers
that exist in basic level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu weighed and measured. It teaches us that something that is of a very firm, Shetoiva Vaya V'Soyv Shemusik L'Ochol HaKel, a firmness of existence is Hushayyeh B'Mispar B'Mishkol HaKol Mani. Everything is counted, meaning it's exact. Because when you keep those numbers and those values, then you get the thing and its nature and so on. Or be it Siyam Yemenu. If you try to leave those numbers, Yetzim Ashiva is Bamukhra Asura, it will become disfigured in some way, because it's not, you don't have the preciseness of the balance of the numbers. Same thing with heavens, he says, and so on. Next paragraph. V'cheinas evuaz es v'fubachas. And that's why in Klal Yisroel, he did the same thing. Bris oilom somla. He made an eternal bond. Arucha bekol. It is completely set up. U'shmura miyachas chasoseh v'pina shoteh. Those numbers are fixed from its very beginning to its foundations. Echorei Avram. Avram was one. Hoyel v'chorei Yisraelah. The others were three. The leaders, it says, are seven. It's a pasuk in the Navi that there's Shiva Roim Shmoyin Nesichim. The Shivatim are 12. Vishar Hayachas Yatzum Rav Vishuk Savna Shalem Nemes Sfarik Rechovim Vayim Kozor Acha. All the other numbers, Shishim Ribu and so on. Ubozen Emma says Hamotzi B'Mitzvah Tzvom. The one that takes out their hosts with numbers. Now, it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, let's have tons of Jews. There's a careful system. We say it a little bit in one of the kinnis on Tisha B'Av, that Yirmiyahu HaNavi found this beautiful woman sitting, and he asked her, who are you? And she said, I'm one, I'm three, I'm 12, I'm 70, and referring to each and every one of the numbers of Kaiso. So Kodesh Baruch Hu built Kaiso with a certain precision. The Shoresh is one, and because every Shoresh can only be one, just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is one, if you're built on two things, it's neither this nor that. It's like if you ask a person, well, what ideal are you founded on? If it's two ideals, then each ideal is missing something. It has to be one. It says, Bocha Vakuk Ve'midon Al Achas. It doesn't mean that he eliminated all of Torah, Chas V'Shalom, and said one is enough. He said, I confined all of Torah in one mitzvah. Tzadik B'Nosei Yichya, it means all mitzvahs have a common shorish, and they come down to that shorish. That's the say of Tzadik B'Nosei Yichya and Midon Al Achas. It's the mile of Torah, that all of Torah points one thing, which is Hashem Echad. Echad is the Echad, and Avram is Echad. Then there was three. I didn't want to be Mayachan, and it'd be by three, and then 12, and 70, and Shishim Ribu, and so on. That is the first. That's the first thing of Kaiso.
Really?
Yes.
This idea of things that are a bria from Hashem having a precision.
Right.
How does that translate over to mitzvot and the shearing of mitzvot and the precision with mitzvot?
Well, it's the very same thing. You know, we ask ourselves, can a kazayas, like, why is it if I ate one drop doesn't make a kazayas, I'm a terrible guy, I didn't eat matzah on Pesach, and if I ate one more crumb, then I'm fine. Chazal say that all mitzvahs are like that, sure. If a person cooks a pot of soup for a hungry man a minute before Shkia Friday night, he's a tzaddik hador. If he cooks it a minute after Laila, he's a rasha. The answer is, because in the world of mitzvahs, I'll give you an example. I always point out, if somebody were to tell you, I'm a very patriotic American, and I like to do something patriotic on July 4th, to show my love of America, what should I do? I tell him, fly an American flag. That's beautiful, wonderful. He flies American flag. This guy comes back and he says, you know, one of the corners of the flag is kind of roundish. Do you think that that's ma'akiv? One or two more questions like that, and you would gently urge this person to seek help. If it's flaggish, then it's a flag. If it looks like a flag, it's a flag. But on the other hand, if somebody tells you, you know, I can't understand it. You know, I got this new computer. There's like tons of wires that you have to connect back and forth from all the pieces. This was a pre-Bluetooth setup. And, you know, I did almost every one of them. So there's one lousy wire that I didn't put in, and the thing doesn't want to work. I mean, you know, so he's off. I mean, you know, it's a circuit, and every piece got to be in place. You know, and if it's not, if there's no power supply, or if there's a power supply but there's nothing to attach the monitor to the process or whatever it is, you're going to not work. In reality, in the Metzius, precision is it. In things that are not reality, that just expressions and so on, then we're sort of not so medactic, and we don't see dictum as being important. So that's why quality souls, and that's why mitzvahs are like that. We look at mitzvahs as being realities rather than good faith expressions. A lulav is a lulav is a lulav. It has a reality. And one spot too much black is not a lulav. Din is din. It cuts things with a very sharp knife. V'hina zeh says, im shekvar yigolui v'yadu alafanav schum kol ha'pashvat yigolim, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew how many Jews there were and how many families, everything, rotzi yisrael sh'yitnesem al derech ha'kochobim sh'mazolzim v'yisrael yidua. He wanted they should become known in their numbers. We should know that it's not a lot of Jews, it's shishim ribu, and each shevet, and so on. V'chein kol mazom ha'chein kochobim yiduim m'seyim shech ha'shivusam, v'chein l'klolam. It is a dechshiva se'inyan that we have an exact count. So basically, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to present that for Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael should dehear it that way, perceive it that way, and so on. Then he says, one more. Yes.
To hear it that way and to see it that way. That way being that they are Messiahs and that's why they're counted?
Yes. Yes. In other words, it's just like when you look at the. If a person would tell you, well, the solar system is you have the sun and all sorts of different things floating around the sun. Well, that's a very poor understanding of it. The planets are seven planets and their orbits are very, very instrumental in describing different aspects of the solar system, the forces and everything. So when we define Kaisol in terms of real hard and fast numbers, we have that. Even though it's in the middle of the Balakeda, we're going to stop here. There's a whole new piece. Amar Minyan Hasheni is a piece by itself, and it's important in itself. And the Bez Hashem, next time we'll do that next year.
I mean the numbers of Klai Yisrael, they seem to be somewhat rounded off.
Yes.
How does that fit in with this? I mean, well, it's like, you know, it goes to the tens, it doesn't go
yes,
to the...
Yes, the Benezah speaks about this. This is interesting because, you know, people have asked, this is one of these questions, but I mean, I even think the Benezah might be here in this parsha, or if it's not in this parsha, it's in one of these parshas. Where, you know, the question was as follows: if you look at the numbers, they're always rounded off to the tens. So the question is posed in two possibilities. One is the Torah not precise, Chas v'Shalom? So then you're saying something about the Inyakti Torah. If this happened by chance, the chances against that happening is 10 to the 12. It's a very simple cheshem, and that's it's a huge, huge. It's a really, really tiny chance, and if it's a nes, doesn't seem to be any reason for that nes. And the answer is, Klal Yisrael, as a klal, is formed by minyanim, by tens. In other words, the unit of Klal Yisrael that's important vis-a-vis the final count. What a tenth. And the Torah is counting in tens, and the Torah is rounding it off, because the Metzius, in the big picture, when you speak about Klal Yisrael, 10 is the smallest unit that's called Klal Yisrael. After that, it's a Yachid. So that's probably the reason why it's their old tens.
But it's still a Meduyot number, at least.
Yes, but there's certainly, I mean, even that Shishim Ribu, the morale, when he speaks about the significance of numbers, and the Raoul always, the significance of numbers is very important to him, and he the Maral is built on this premise that the numbers that Chazal give are, and even Chazal, when Chazal say a quote-unquote guzma, 300 this and this, they don't pick a number to sound large. They pick a number that expresses a certain nekuda. If you take a look, 300 is a number used widely in Chazal when you want to express a lot, an extraordinary amount. And he explains what this means, 300. Same with Shishim Ribu. They're not called Shishim as Elof, they're usually called Shishim Ribu. Ribu is one inyan, Shishim is another inyan, and there's a reason that Siruf that gives it its mitzvah. That's for the same reason why Ayin is why 70, and the same reason why 12, and the same reason 3 and 1. Each one of the numbers has some sort of quality that it's expressed in number form. Okay.